Welcome to Osteopathy Unplugged. I'm Steve Paulus Dio.
And I'm Bonnie Gintis Dio. We're American osteopathic physicians, and we're a married couple devoted to the practice and the study of osteopathic medicine. We developed Osteopathy Unplugged out of our passion for osteopathy and the recognition that our profession needs a more intimate conversation about who we are and what we do.
Join us as we sit in conversation, talking about the inner and outer workings of osteopathy.
Welcome to the next installment of our Practice of Osteopathy series. This is episode 22, Too Many Cooks in the Kitchen, Mixing and Matching Other Treatments with Osteopathy. This is the sixth episode in our Practice of Osteopathy series, where we explore the qualities of an office visit that are not directly related to the skills of osteopathic manipulation. What does it mean to have too many cooks in the kitchen? In this episode, we'll discuss what happens when someone we're treating osteopathically is getting too many other types of treatments concurrently. We're talking predominantly about those other types of treatment that are non-osteopathic types of hands-on therapies that can potentially conflict rather than complement an osteopathic treatment. Some treatment approaches undermine each other, and a few can support each other, and some make no difference. When there is a potential conflict, different approaches need to be spaced apart at helpful intervals. We need to educate our patients about the best way to include osteopathy in the greater context of all the other things they're doing to care for themselves. We're going to address how osteopathy can and should interact with key medical and dental interventions. We'll be discussing all of these details in this exciting and pragmatic episode. For our listeners whose first language isn't English, let me explain this English language saying in more detail. This predicament that we call too many cooks in the kitchen is what happens to our patient when there are either too many opinions, approaches, and interventions to their care, or too many things being introduced too close together in time. Patients need to be able to take in what's offered in any therapeutic intervention and have time to assimilate and adapt that treatment into their own unique therapeutic process. Let's expand the metaphor. If you just keep adding salt or spices to a soup and don't allow the flavors to dissolve and blend with the other ingredients, the final product might not taste that good. Or if you add a bunch of conflicting ingredients, the soup becomes inedible. There's a related idiom in English: too many cooks spoil the broth. Just as in a crowded kitchen where too many cooks are involved in what goes into a recipe and how to best prepare it, the cooks can bump into each other, conflict with each other, and create a situation of too much input going on at once that exceeds, now I'm going to switch the metaphor to the patient, that exceeds the patient's ability to digest and assimilate and benefit from all the various treatment approaches. Metaphors are all intended here. Send us a comment and let us know if you have a version of this saying in your language. No one talked to me about the issue of too much input from too many practitioners and conflicting treatments when I was a student. Even when I was new in practice, nobody told me about this. Even as an experienced osteopath in practice for many years, I've never heard anyone discuss or write about this topic. It would have been so much easier if I had an idea of what was best for my patients when they asked common questions like, can I see my acupuncturist, chiropractor, massage therapist, or physiotherapist on the same day I see you? I had to figure all of this out by trial and error. Now, we'd like to bring this issue up for you to consider. We'd like to offer you our experience and wisdom so you don't have to spend years trying to figure it out on your own. I'd like to give you a warning. Steve and I both have some strong opinions on this issue, and there are many reasons why we do. We have a combined 70 years of clinical experience. I practiced in two cities that were filled with a wide variety of alternative practitioners: Woodstock, New York, and Santa Cruz, California. And Steve practiced in Santa Cruz for 23 years before we moved to Vermont. Both Steve and I have studied many non-osteopathic approaches. Steve studied acupuncture and the five-element approach to Chinese medicine. He lived in a yoga ashram and taught yoga. He studied Ayurvedic medicine and many more alternative approaches to health and well-being. We are both mindfulness-based stress reduction teachers, and we've both been meditating for more than 50 years each.
Hey, wait a minute. You may have been meditating for 50 years, but I've only been meditating for 48 years.
Oh, okay. We're the same age. Just so you know, we're both 67. But I went to my first meditation class when I was 15. So actually, it's been 52 years for me. And you followed just a few years later.
Now you've got it straight.
Okay. We're both a little too young to be part of the hippie counterculture of the 1960s. But we entered medicine and osteopathy right when the cultural expansion of alternative medicine was exploding in the 1980s. We were in the room when it was happening, before alternative medicine became mainstreamed for many people like it is now. Back in the 80s and 90s, alternative medicine was at the edge of healthcare. Now, disciplines like acupuncture and massage are everywhere. But those are just a few of the many non-osteopathic approaches we'd like to address. I began my interest in alternative approaches long before I attended osteopathic medical school, starting with polarity therapy, yoga, Tai Chi, Feldenkrais, the Alexander technique, and of course, as many of you know, Continuum. I'm an authorized Continuum teacher. I was mentored by Emily Conrad, the founder of Continuum, from 1996 until she died in 2014. I've also studied nutrition and Western herbal medicine. And we have both personally experienced many of the alternative medicine approaches we're going to be mentioning later on as clients or patients. Both Steve and I have had a lot of acupuncture, homeopathy, many types of massage, Rolfing, just to name a few. We have firsthand experience in many of the alternative approaches that fall under the umbrella of integrative or alternative medicine. This gives us street cred for developing informed opinions about the approaches we comment on in this episode, and also to our patients. We also invite our listeners to openly discuss their experiences of the interaction of osteopathy and other alternative medicine approaches. We want to hear from you, especially after you've listened to the whole episode. Please tell us what you agree with, as well as your disagreements. Post your questions on Patreon. That's our preference for a place to post questions, or on our Facebook page, either publicly or privately. Okay, Steve, let's get this conversation started.
The issue of too many cooks in the kitchen comes up frequently in an osteopathy.
The episode you've been listening to just faded out because you are not yet a subscriber to Osteopathy Unplugged. Please visit patreon.com/osteopathyunplugged and become a subscriber in order to have full access to the rest of this episode as well as the complete collection.
We have created a set of foundational episodes that will be available for free for everyone. These teachings provide an introduction to osteopathic clinical philosophy. However, the full versions of all episodes are only available through Patreon. Access Patreon through their app or through a browser page. Thank you for listening to Osteopathy Unplugged.
And thank you for your interest in the osteopathic experience.
Until next time, be well, listen deeply, and stay curious.